The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome today to Afternoons with Mike. It is always a fun time for me to get to meet new people. I've got a couple of them. A husband and wife team are visiting the Shepherd Studios today, Jennifer and Eric Denault, and they have a company called Elevate Media. And we're excited about this. And first time I've had a husband and wife videographer, photographer team. You guys do all of that. I love that phrase that we talked about a moment ago. You guys get to help capture special moments. And that's what you guys are doing. And we pray that this will be one of those special moments that we get to have here today. Welcome to my program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It is great. Tell me a little bit about yourselves. First of all, let's start with you, Eric. How did you meet the Lord?
So I basically kind of grew up with Jesus in our lives. You know, my parents, they come from kind of a funny background. My mom kind of grew up with a real deep Southern Baptist upbringing, very, very strict. And my father was Catholic. So we always kind of make the jokes within our house is that, you know, that mom's on one side of the beach over here with her acoustic guitar skiing kumbaya. And my dad was kind of the wild stallion and was on the other side of the beach making a ruckus. So somehow they found each other. And it was interesting, you know, the dynamic of the two coming together. And the one thing that my dad just kept noticing within with my mom's side of the family is that they just had a true relationship with God. It was he had a real tough upbringing with his family. They were Christian as well, but just a tougher, harder upbringing with his family. And so for us, you know, as growing up, we always had God in our lives. You know, he was always just, you know, present. My parents always made sure that they provided those outlets for us, if it was, you know, Sunday school or finding a good church home. So God was just always part of our family.
That's wonderful. How about you, Jennifer?
Well, the same for me when it comes to having Jesus in my life since I was born. I believe that my mom prayed a lot for me even before I was in her womb. So by the time I was born, I felt like I could pray before I could even speak. So for me, I've always had a deep relationship with God. However, I did not know the importance of community and everything else that it comes with as being part of a Christian community until I was about, I want to say about 20. I was blessed with a group of friends that led me to an amazing church that, and it was a non-denominational church that really opened my eyes to so much more, everything from being able to serve within our church to being able to really get into the word and to scripture and the importance of all of that. So after that, I've been able to just grow with God and so many different trials and opportunities for growth
there
to
you
build
go.
My character.
Nice. I like the way you made that change. Opportunities for growth. That's you know, when you think about it, you guys have to know how odd, in a good way, I don't mean that in a bad way, but how different it is to have a husband and wife, a young couple as you are, who really both of you have a heritage growing up, knowing that it has to be that a lot of your people, you know, your peers, they don't have that background in this. It's sad to think I come across a lot of young people who have yet to ever hear the story of David in the Bible. They don't even know it. They weren't told. And here both of you guys are growing up with a heritage. That's rare and it's exciting.
Well, that with parents that are still together, you know, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true.
That goes along too. My parents just celebrated 50 years. So pretty awesome there. We just celebrated that in South Florida.
50 years.
50 years together. It's amazing.
My dad passed away just short of his and my mom's 65th wedding anniversary. Oh. And so they made it to 64. And I just think that's marvelous. And so, that's very special.
Very blessed.
So my in-laws now, just my wife's parents, just celebrated their 65th.
Wow. That's awesome.
So my wife and I come from families of long marriages like that. And that's just really great to realize what a heritage that you guys will have in your family and all through the years of your life. That'd be something that you share that's really unique. How was it that you came into this idea of a media company? Where did that come from?
Well, I've been in marketing for over a decade now, and that really has allowed me to have a creative outlet with everything from social media managing to photography, videography, and all of that. And then I really developed a love for videography and video editing. And I just thought that there was something in my heart that really wanted to continue to express that. So I told my husband about it. I told him, I'm like, do you think I'm crazy that I would really like to pursue this? And of course, the cheerleader that he is, he was like, absolutely, let's do this. We're going on Amazon and buying all this.
So you guys get into this when it's already nonlinear editing then, right? On the meaning, all punch on the computer, just basically you can undo all of the edits that you make. If you don't like them, you can undo them. That's what you started off with, right?
Absolutely. Well, I love that the fact that you can create, and we have our media company really takes a cinematic approach when it comes to all of the videography and photography. We really want to be able to have our clients love the video so much that they want to watch it as if it were a movie. Mm-hmm. and share it with their families, especially now because of, you know, the times that we're in right now. Sometimes we're not able to gather together like we wish we could. And this is a way that they can still share those special moments, even if it's across the country or across the world.
At 24 frames a second, then, right?
That's right.
That's wonderful. You know, you guys would laugh if you saw my, when I was trained in video stuff, it was on a 2-inch quad tape machine, and you had to be very quick. And if you made a mistake, you had to start from scratch on everything again. So it was,
My father has those reel-to-reels still. Mm-hmm. So let's go and point that out there. He still has a reel-to-reel.
Now, you know, I used to have the editing bar and all of that, the little angle editing bar that we'd cut splice tape. And
oh, yes.
I got rid of all that a long time ago. So, yeah, we're in the new way of doing things now. It's a lot easier, a lot better. Oh, yes. But that's pretty cool. How did you guys meet?
So we actually both used to work for Samsung. I was actually a national trainer for them. And Jenny was
I was in the marketing team, experiential marketing team.
And Samsung. Mm-hmm. So was that here in the country then? Or?
Yes, yes. So they have a America portion of the company. Mm-hmm. I mean, Samsung's a massive global company, but they do have an America section. And so we represented the products. Specifically for me, I was on the national computing team. So I handled pretty much tablets, wearables, anything that was non-connected, PCs, you know, laptops type stuff like that. And so I was doing a lot of traveling. And of course, with Samsung, we all have national meetings, which brings, I guess at that time, there was probably over 1,000 employees together. And I met her just kind of in passing. And it was really God's orchestrating the way that how it came later, how we actually kind of got together. But we met in passing. It was kind of like a hi, nice to meet you type of thing. And then I guess it was just I met one of our colleagues and we became friends on Facebook. And then one crazy thing happened after another and she had to come to Atlanta because I was living in Atlanta for a while. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, I saw, this Facebook post saying I'm coming to Atlanta. And I just kind of reached out to her just in jest. She didn't really know me. And so, well, while you're here, why don't we just grab some dinner? And sure enough, like we spent the entire weekend and this is kind of what I was making a joke about this earlier, which was that, you know, I always used to kind of pick and make fun of people that would say, oh, I knew the moment I met my wife, I just knew. And I was like, oh, come on. You don't really believe that, do you?
Sounds so romantic.
Right. I know. Yeah. And it was one of those things that I knew the moment that I met her. It was just one of those things. I was just like, this is the person that God has for me. And it was just absolutely clear. I mean, you just can't make it up. It really is. And it's, she's my best friend. You know, she really is. It's amazing to be able to do what we both enjoy doing, but be able to do it with your best friend just makes it all the better.
Hmm. Anything to add to that, Jennifer?
Yeah, I think that's why it just, we work so well together, because he is my best friend, and it's like we can read each other's minds, really. And so it doesn't take very much thought into the way that we work together, whether it's on site or even afterwards, when mm-hmm. when we're editing and trying to compile all of our content. There's always that back and forth chemistry. If I have, you know, a thought, or maybe he comes up with something, and it's just so easy and so fluid the way that we work.
Now, editing can be a stressful thing.
Yes.
So what is it like when you guys see things differently as to how an edit should be done?
So we kind of have a almost like a two-part process, because I will say, when it comes to the editing, she is the definitely the master of the household. I have no problems or qualms admitting that. I mean, she's truly, truly remarkable when it comes to editing. She has such a great eye for it. And it's just one of those things that, for me, I can start by telling a little bit of a story. So I'll kind of start to formulate stuff. I'll download all the content to our hard drives, and then maybe start to kind of formulate a storyline. But then it's the real magic comes in with her, is she starts to see the storyline. She's like, no, that is not the way it's going to go. We're going to change it up a little bit. But she then begins to add all the magical effects and really just brings the true beauty to, in my opinion, I think, the piece. So she's just incredible. So there's a good balance there, too.
Eric, you're a very smart man. I just wanted you to know that. That was a great answer, man.
I'm saying happy wife, happy life at this point. I don't know, but
that's awesome. I really appreciate that. I mean, it is an art. And this day and age, I've thought so often about wishing. I mean, I was actually in television when Cindy and I got married. And, you know, we don't even have a videotape of our wedding. Mm-hmm. And I think about those special moments that you were mentioning earlier. How that times have changed. And I'm sure the kids today don't realize, they can probably take for granted just all of the technology that's there. And you know, you talked about cinematic, thinking about that your wedding could be shot in such a way that it looks like a movie. Mm-hmm. And you can actually do that in this day and age. And it's right there. And most people now have in their iPhone, if they have an iPhone. Sorry if you don't, but I mean, you know, that I'm obviously an iPhone snob.
It's all right.
That's all right. But whatever phone you have, you've got a great camera and a video camera. And the fact that people take snaps of just photographs of special moments, it's so easy to do that now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's, you know, technology has just come a long way. I mean, there's just like you said with iPhone, I mean, there are people that shoot full movies, you know, and short films.
And they look great.
They do. They really do. There's truly a lot of technology advances. And whether it be if you're a Samsung person or you're an Apple person, I mean, the cameras and the technology behind it.
Oh, I never even thought about Samsung. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. Listen, we have jumped ship. We are now officially Apple people. We're full-blown Z's, yes. So
I feel better now. I wasn't even thinking about that when I said that. I was thinking the difference of Android versus iPhone, you know. Oops, Samsung, Android. Yeah, I got it. Oh, my goodness. Well, this really is true, that you can take a phone and you can make a beautiful birthday party video, and then just within a matter of moments, send that out. But you guys do this now at another level.
Yes.
I mean, your business would be taking all of the fun things, all of the special magic moments, and then taking that up a notch.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, our first roots were trying to figure out what equipment's the best. So I think that's the first start of it for us was, you know, what equipment do we need? How do we get there? And I think the most amazing thing is starting off a business, I'm sure as you know, or as anybody knows, is very difficult, because your upfront costs for all the things that you have to purchase can be very difficult. But it was just as if God was just navigating our ship for us, because, you know, all the stuff that we had, it was, okay, I got a bonus, or I had this coming in, or I had that coming in. It was completely the way God had designed it to be. It was the perfect timing at the perfect place, and it just, he was able to help us with all of our needs. So we our equipment definitely is elevated for sure. And so we're very, very grateful and thankful for what God has done in our lives.
Now, a lot of times when people hear we've got a person that's in media, they want to know, do you do weddings? Because apparently now weddings I know my own daughter is a photographer for weddings and does a phenomenal job. I used to do wedding videos and then I trained my son. My son then ended up working through college doing wedding videos up in Gainesville and Ocala. And now he got a degree at UF with journalism and video specialty.
Now, I won't hold that against him. Well, I'm a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan, so I won't hold that against him. But go ahead. My apologies.
We're going to take a break, folks, and we'll... No, just kidding.
Go Canes.
Go Canes. That's the first time I think that's been uttered on my program. But I will forgive you guys. That's okay. I'm not holding any grudges today. But that, it really is so special to have a wedding video. And that's what I was just saying. I mean, you guys are doing something that is one of the most magical, using that word again, one of the most magical moments for any couple is when they get married and to have that video. It's there.
And honestly, it's such an honor for us to be able to be a part of our client's big day. That honestly is one of the biggest milestones for people in their lives, and for them to trust us enough to know that we're going to be able to capture all the moments that they want in there that is special to them. Like we've had in the past clients that because of their culture they want a specific dance out of respect for their parents or something like that. That it's just so special and so a part of their lives and their family. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able to capture that is just such a great honor for them to trust us.
Absolutely. I agree.
I love it. My guests today, Jennifer and Eric Denault with Elevate Media. We'll be back with them in a moment for another segment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret and how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com. to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing.
It's an honor to have a couple. They are married and they are in business together and they edit video together and they're still married. Now, that's a great thing. That's a great combination going. I'm talking about Eric and Jennifer Denault and they're with Elevate Media. And you guys have this company name and it's one of these cool ways that it's presented. Tell us about your name.
So we were obviously trying to figure out, what do we name this new business that, that she just had this great idea for. And so we kind of went round and round and yes, you're right with that initial statement. Somehow we're still married because it was a very big challenge trying to come up with the perfect name. I think that's, I think when anybody that's creating a business, everybody wants to have that perfect name, something that's just an identity for them. And, through everything we kept saying, well, the most important thing is that God is the center of our business. It's not something that we hide from. It's something that we are just completely open and honest about. And so it was just one of those things that we kept thinking like, well, and all through things that, for him, we're just going to elevate him. He's our center and we're just going to elevate him. And it became where there's like reoccurring thoughts like, oh, okay. So it's elevate. And then of course we have to now figure out how we're going to do it. And then of course the brains behind the actual spelling and the design of the name is all Jenny for sure. She's the very, very, she's so creative when it comes to that mindset. So she came up with the
So it's got the 8 number in it, L of 8, and it's got ELEV 8, media.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, the number 8, of course, is an important number for those that love to study numbers in the Bible. It's a new beginning. So that's what that is always about. And this is pretty cool that you guys had a new beginning in your business and in your life. How long have you been married? I don't think I asked that question yet.
Just over 2 years now.
Yes.
Oh, now usually you guys were kind of like looking at each other. I'm thought, okay, who's going to answer who and who's going to get it wrong?
That's right. Yeah. That's why I pointed at her. Go ahead, honey. I'm just going to look over here.
It's like, what anniversary is this, dear? Oh, I get it. Now we're back to the editing conundrum there. That's great. Oh, my goodness. That's super. So you guys are based in Central Florida.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And do you travel with your business?
We're open to traveling. I mean, both Eric and I have traveled a lot through work in the past, and there's nothing like a good old road trip.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So I've got to ask this. I love to ask this question of people who have their own businesses. What's the most unusual job that you ever did?
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one. So there are, you know, I think with weddings and stuff, it's, I mean, the ones that we've shot so far, they've all been unique. And probably I'll say our first one, because, you know, it was, we were rookies at it. We were learning the trade, and you know, we both had such a vision. We knew, I'll say this, we were on YouTube a lot late nights watching like tips and tricks for wedding photography or videography. And, you know, we happened to have one of our friends in our community, and it was her wedding. She could not afford a videographer, so she was gracious enough to let us to give it a shot. And with her.
So you got to practice on her then.
We did. We did. Mm-hmm. And we were so blessed by it too, because it was a challenge in the fact that she's Korean, and she had a specific bowing ceremony that she really wanted integrated into the actual wedding itself. And it was very dramatic, very sincere. Her father was no longer around, but you know, her mother was there, and she just wanted to honor both her mother and her father. And so it was just a very unique, I guess, shot that we had to do for it. And then we brought it all together, and it was just nice to be able to share that moment with them, and then capture that moment, and then reshare it when we put it all together. And we, of course, invited them to our house because they're neighbors of ours. And it was just great to see their emotional reaction to it. They just, you know, they were both in tears. And so there's different unique, I think, elements to shooting any wedding or event. You never know what's going to happen. There's no, I mean, you can plan for everything, but to be honest with you, you never know how it's going to go. You know, so.
Yeah, I get it. How about you? Anything, Jenny, that comes to your mind?
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. That's but I did want to add on to that even though that was challenging, it really was just reassurance from God, knowing that He was opening the way for us. That it just came about so smoothly. That it was so evident that this was God's plan for us to have our own media business. It was, you know, we were still working on developing the concept, and I don't even think we had a website yet or anything like that, or had agreed on a logo. but our friend reached out to us, and she, we were just talking about it, and then she was like, no, yes, that would be amazing if you could shoot our wedding. And so it just happened so smoothly and so beautifully that it was definitely a sign from God, knowing that he's taking care of us.
Oh, you know, that's wonderful.
And it was also, I'll add this too, is that while we were shooting that, they had paid for photographers, and they were a young Christian couple too. And so the nice thing was, is just getting to know them, they loved shooting with us. And since then, we've just really built a friendship and partnership with them as well. So it's really great to be able to meet fellow other Christians in that same craft, and then being able to share any options or opportunities, you know, with us and us, you know, likewise with them. So,
oh, that's great. And you know, to have those friends that you do things when you're doing something for a friend, you really want it to be right. So I know that you would have approached this whole thing to do all of those kinds of shoots with friends in mind, you're not wanting to make a mistake. We had a friend do our wedding from the standpoint of using his, he worked for a well-known company, a photographic company back in the day, and loaded the film backwards on one of his rolls and lost a number of key shots in our wedding. And, you know, he's a friend. So what do? You know, he calls up and he goes, I am so embarrassed. And they came out, we recreated, they paid for their tux rental and everything again. Of course, my wife had her wedding gown and we reset some of those shots and they weren't the same, but you know, those kinds of crazy things, you know, they can happen. And boy, that's not one that you want to have happen when you're a pro and when you're doing it for a friend is what he did. Well, you know he felt terrible.
And those recreation shots, just to let everyone listening into the radio world right now, but that actually is pretty common. When I say that, meaning that if we're trying to say shoot the bride coming down the aisle or maybe up close, mm-hmm. or they're putting their rings on their finger, you know, oftentimes it's hard to get those specific shots. So, you know, working with your client is, I think, a very important thing because you can, after the wedding's done, you could say, hey, let's go back over here to the altar. Let's recreate this scene. And then we're going to do close-ups of you sliding the ring on her finger. Most people that are watching the video have no idea. They just think that it just was, you just happen to get a great shot, be at the right place at the right time. But sometimes you really do have to recreate those scenes. So,
you know, and I think that the part of the problem is every one of us have this movie kind of framework in our mind, like a template as to how special shots and close-up angles and all of this. And they would, none of us would realize how many takes in a movie to get a certain shot just done so perfectly that it took to do that. It's a lot of work.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But it honestly is also really fun to be able to catch those candid moments of just family members having a good time. It's those natural shots that mm-hmm. also make the video so unique because when they go back and watch it, they're able to see the joy from that entire day, from all aspects of the wedding.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a fun thing to do. I think it's a truly gratifying thing to do, to be able to help somebody, present them a video is what you get to do. And of course, you're getting to do all this and you get paid for it too. That's even better.
That's right.
That's really great. That's really wonderful. Now, I know that you're, Jen, you're involved to some degree with Choices. Tell me about that.
Yes, I've been their community relations manager for almost 3 years now. It's been such a blessing to be in ministry. That is just something that I felt very called for, and I had prayed for a very long time, but it was just not God's timing. And I'm just so thankful that I can be a part of this ministry now.
Were you part of that big new kickoff on the campus by UCF?
I was, yes.
We were there too. Yeah.
Yes, it was such an amazing and surreal experience just to be able to see what God has done throughout the 2-3 years that I've been there, just from the ground up, really just praying about over that area, finding the property. It was just, you know, really God moving in that place and just to see him at work, and now seeing the women that are coming through mm-hmm. there, and what a blessing it is to them to be able to have those free resources in that area.
Well, it's a major, major work that they're doing, and it's always fun to have them on our program. And Vicky has been here a number of times, I think about 3 times on my show. So it's really great, and I enjoy every time. The purpose of a pro-life group like that in this day and age could not be understated. I mean, it's just, or couldn't be overstated. It's just an amazingly important ministry that they and you are doing. So thank you for doing that as well.
Oh, it's my honor.
Oh, that's really great. You know, this whole thing, what do you see happening now as technology's kind of, it is what it is? Are there any big breakthroughs that you're hearing about with video or with photography that's coming around the bend?
So I think our next goal, and it's definitely a challenge, is it's getting certified for drone photography and videography. So A lot of shots you start to see when it comes to cinematic views and zooming out of a shot or maybe of the venue itself, a lot of that is shot on drones. And the federal government's made some changes now. So there's a lot of things that to use it non-paid, you have to still get a license and register. If the drone weighs a certain thing, you have to get it registered. And then if you're using it to actually make money, then you actually have to take the test that is, I believe that the FCC requires that most pilots take. So you have to have an understanding of air and everything. So that's our next goal, our next challenge is to start getting that with the drone photography and videography. That's our next jump and challenge for sure.
You know, when you think about that, what you just said, that just blows my mind because I've wondered about that so often with so many drones. You can go to Costco now and buy a drone. And you see it and you go, well, how high does that go? Okay, well, it goes high enough to cause problems.
That's right.
Serious That's right. problems. I mean, I can't even imagine what kind of nightmare that would be to be in certain parts of town where there are flight paths with airplanes going by. And then you've got other issues. I know Disney, I'm sure, and some of the other parks as well probably have some serious limitations on drones in the area. So you could get yourself, I would imagine, not even trying to, but in some serious hot water with those things.
Absolutely. That's correct. Yeah. I mean, the FCC is very, very serious when it comes to that, especially, like I said, for traffic control reasons for planes and helicopters that fly. When you think about all the helicopters that are right here in Orlando, where I think you can rent for like $35, a trip or something like that just to go fly around and see the sights via helicopter. I mean, people were just allowed to fly drones everywhere. It can definitely cause some problems. So I understand it. I think it's, you got to start somewhere, but it's definitely a challenge. You know, it costs money to take the test.
I was just going to say, how much does it cost to do that?
I believe it's $160, even if you pass or fail. And each time if you were to fail it, you still have to pay the next $160 again. So it's not just you get a free pass to come back. It's a recurring fee if you fail it. So you want to make sure that you study correctly and make sure you pass that test the first time at least.
And I would think to get a drone that would be commercial level, those things aren't cheap either, right?
I mean, the ones that we look at, there's some that start around like the $400 to $900 range, and those are made by DJI. They make a really great drone. Some of them are smaller, and it seems like nowadays the because of the way the FCC is kind of cracking down on drone weight, for certain regulations there, it seems like most of the companies are going to a lighter and lighter frame so they can kind of get past some of those extra things. So there's a couple that we like, that are definitely on our radar, so to speak. So
I just I'm always surprised. I'm just never cease to be amazed at how steady the video that is able to be shot from these things, how smooth it looks when you realize you're talking about something moving through air currents and wind and breeze is hitting it. And yet the gimbal type of, I think I've said there, a gimbal type of impact that apparatus that the camera is attached is smooth enough that you don't even see any motion.
Yeah, the technology behind the stabilizers and all of the, I guess the blades themselves are really quite amazing. So it's the technology's just come such a long way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting thing. And I know for other aspects of photography, technology's changing and, making everything faster and better. But I guess you guys are still using the good old kind of eye of Photoshop editing and all of that to make your pictures what you want. And
Yes. When it comes to photography, of course, we use Photoshop and Lightroom to make the photos extra beautiful. and the same thing with our, when it comes to video editing, we use our
Final Cut Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different software within Final Cut Pro, too. There's
After Effects.
LUTs, and there's Cinema Grade you can buy, and a lot of different, plugins for Final Cut Pro. And of course, there's different ones. There's the Adobe makes one, but we're more Final Cut Pro.
Mm-hmm. And every new one that we get is just as exciting as the first.
That's right.
Well, it's a fun industry that you guys are in, and I wish you the very best. How can people get in touch with you?
You can visit our website. It's elevate-media.net.
And that's E-L-E-V-A. Number 8.
Yes, uh-huh. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Elevate Media or elevate-media.net.
Yeah. And there's right. links to all of our social from the direct website mm-hmm. too. So you can see some of the videos that we have on there too and just kind of what we offer. So.
Mm. Well, we wish you the very, very best, not only in your business, but in your marriage and exciting couple of years in now into your marriage. And
a little one on the way. We just found over the week of
Father's
Day.
Well, congratulations.
So thank you very much. Yeah, we're very excited about that.
Well, that is so wonderful. That is big news. So
I'm excited. Very, very excited. So, yes.
That's great. So we'll wonder if the number 8 has any prophetic meaning in the right. size of your family. We'll find that.
don't put that evil on me.
We'll see.
Or on her.
I may have started a fight right there. All right. So great to have had Eric and Jennifer Dinal. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's been great. And we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. In the studio now, a guest named Horatio Hamilton. Welcome to my program.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you here, to meet you. I understand that you, through your brother, you know Mark Goldstein, a great friend of the Shepherd here and mine as well.
Yes, yes. My brother introduced me to him probably about a year and a half or so ago. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. And I understand that you are originally from Jamaica.
Yes, that's correct. Montego Bay, to be exact.
Okay. How long were you there before coming over to the States?
I left Jamaica when I was 10 years old.
Hmm.
So a young man, basically, venturing off.
So what was that like, making a transition from Jamaica to America?
It was different. It wasn't negative by any means. I mean, we had some family here in the States, so we had family to communicate with and see. The transition was not that hard socially because of that,
mm-hmm.
but educationally it was different. I was attending a private school in Jamaica, and then we ended up in public school. And
well, that had to be a lot different.
That was significantly different.
I would think so.
So that was an interesting learning experience, and then continuing through public school throughout the rest of the time being here in the States. So it was tough at first because, you know, to be quite honest, kids will make fun of you with an accent, right? Mm-hmm. Kids, they don't understand it. They'll make fun of you.
Now, you don't seem to have much of an accent right now.
No, I mean,
assuming you did back then.
Correct.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, you know, over the years, always communicating, things change. I mean, I've been here since I was 10. I'll be 50 in October. I mean, you're talking 40 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. You will lose an accent at some point.
That's right. And, you know, that is such a fun area, Jamaica. I've only been there once. I've been able to talk to many people from there and some friends that are originally from there as well. Although, even though they've stayed in the States, they've maintained the accent
So if you were around my parents, you would see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's never going to leave them.
That's right. Where did you land in the U.S. when you came?
Brooklyn, New York.
Ah.
Yes.
What part of Brooklyn?
So Ocean Avenue, basically near the Flatbush area, but mostly where all the Hasidic Jews live in that part of Brooklyn.
But in near was it Washington Heights? Is that?
Yeah, no, it's closer to Flatbush and then over more. Yeah, you're right. Washington Heights area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My daughter lived there for a number of years and not that terribly far from there near the big park that's mm-hmm. over there. And it was beautiful. And I love the area. I thought that was a lot of fun. But I'm really glad that she's back in Florida now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My parents, especially my dad, did not like the idea of shoveling snow.
Oh, I've had enough of that in my lifetime to last my lifetime.
So, you know, that said, it was, hey, they bought a house in Florida. They were going to rent it out for a few years.
Yeah. And
my dad said, no, he would rather be in Florida. It's a better environment for his kids and everything else. So the middle of my junior year of high school, we moved to Orlando.
Mm. So, well, good move.
It was a good move. Yes,
good agreed. Move. Now, you gave your heart to the Lord in a Baptist church, right?
Yes, that's correct. Lenox yeah. Road Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you moved, you were a believer when you moved to Florida then?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, as a young man, you go through those roller coasters. Everybody goes through roller coasters when they're, you know, trying to manage to their faith. But the cool part about coming here, my mom started going to Benny Hinzel Church.
Mm.
And so we would go there and be a part of any youth stuff and different things like that.
At one time, that was a big congregation.
Very big congregation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was something that was always in us, around us, by us. And it was the right way in my mind to ensure that you were still developing in your faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, and went away to college, went to Georgia Southern my freshman year, and then came back home and then transferred to a small school in Missouri Central Methodist University. And then subsequently from there, transferred to the University of Missouri. I played football in college.
Did you?
Yes.
And oh, my.
And so fortunately, I was able to play with my brother, Colin, who you mentioned before.
Yeah.
So that was the journey.
Boy, the fun of it all, the pain of it all.
The pain of it all. Yeah. Yeah.
It's I mean, there, isn't it?
It's there. Yeah. Back issues are oh, known, especially for running backs. That's a known thing. Ankles, knees, you know. Uh-huh. So I'm fortunate enough to say that, yes, the pain is there, but it's not debilitating pain, because I know other people who have a hard time walking. I mm-hmm. even mention that a lot of times when I'm speaking, that, you know, just the ability to breathe mm-hmm. and the ability to open your eyes and stand is very powerful, you mm-hmm. know, and people take that for granted.
They do. I can people tell you they do. Granted. It's a blessing to have this to look back on. And I know you had a lot of fun, you know, what you're doing. And we've mentioned Mark Goldstein already in this conversation. Mark wrote a book, Marketplace Ministry or something. It was, that may not be the exact title, but that was the subject of the book.
Yes.
And it was, and is to me, such a critical way of thinking, a critical approach to taking the gospel for the most of us. And it is a time for, I believe, every person to really take to heart how important it is for them to share the gospel outwardly in their lives. And that's what you do.
Correct.
You work for Canon.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're in a job mm-hmm. that is, I'm sure, taking you a lot of different locales, a lot of different groups that you get to speak with in your
yes.
business. But your heart to take the gospel is something that I think we can all learn from and really put into practice ourselves. You have a desire to take, and this is what you've said, to take it into non-traditional areas. Tell us about that.
So when you look at the opportunity to spread the word, right, sometimes it's not always going to be in a church setting for someone to hear or even acknowledge the word of God, right? And part of the reason why this idea came about, when I was working for a dealership, I asked about possibly doing a prayer group there, and I was hesitant to ask because it is corporate America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the vice president of sales at the time was like, hey, yeah, if you're doing it pre-work hours, have at it. You can utilize the space. That's not a problem. And that was the first time I knew that there's a way to reach people.
There is an opening.
Correct. And then from there, it expounded to... Now that I'm with Canon directly, back then that was a Canon dealership, but I work for Canon directly mm-hmm. today. I have 17 states I'm responsible for sales, and I'm always on a plane. I'm always mm-hmm. somewhere, right? And it opens the door for communication with people. People talk to you when you're sitting in a lounge or a restaurant when they're in the airport. They may be asking questions about the airport. They may be asking all different types of things. And through that, I was able to speak to quite a few people about the gospel and even just about their lives and just applying biblical principle to those conversations. And that's, and when those people still reach out. So over the years, my contact list has grown exponentially.
I bet.
And so it just opened the door for that consistent communication long term.
Was this immediately comfortable to you, or did you have to grow into that?
I grew into it. But because I smile a lot, obviously, it's a little disarming, right? And people just talk to me. It's the weirdest thing.
You have one of those comfortable faces, safe faces. People go, that's a nice guy.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, it's disarming.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, the challenge then becomes moving beyond just that and talk about relevant things. Everyone can talk about coffee, this,
yeah,
that, and the other.
Small talk.
But then how do you apply that small talk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A friend of mine said it this way. He said, the trick is moving from small talk to big talk.
Correct. But a perfect example, I met a young man in the Charlotte airport, and he was mentioning to me through this coffee conversation that, you know, his wife doesn't understand his drive for business. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, first off, do you pray with her? Tough question to ask someone you don't really know. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I don't really do that. I get up early in the morning and I do my thing and I move on, you know? And I said, okay, how do you invest in your wife?
And he's like, another very good question.
And his response was, well, I help with the kids from time to time and, you know, so on and so forth. I said, well, that's not investing in your wife. And he paused. I said, let me ask you a question, a very simple question. How does your wife like her coffee? Very simple question.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't know. So that's where you kind of take that, you know, next step of conversation and walking him down the path of you're not investing where you think you're investing. Mm-hmm. You're pouring all your time, energy, and effort into work. Yes, you are on the road. You're doing different things. But where are you taking her on your journey?
Right. And that is a big question. I think what you're saying is that kind of a question opens up a vista.
Correct.
Into that person's life. And maybe with this disarming nature and friendliness and, you know, God is using that for you to be able to share the gospel.
Correct.
With people. Now you're doing something. I've got a couple of minutes left here.
Sorry.
But I'd love for you to tell me about your lunch, the jazz thing that you're doing.
So, yeah, met a young man about 4 years ago, Vincent Filarenza. He's the owner of Jazz Tastings today. Met him, 4 years ago. And he was in a unique place. Wasn't sure where he was going to take his business or what he was going to do. He was perplexed about his relationships and different things like that. And I sent him on a slight journey, get into Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, take the 40 Days of Purpose challenge and move on that challenge. Subsequently, since that 4 years ago, then 3 years ago, he bought Jazz Tastings, started doing what he was doing. And I would mentor with him from time to time, kind of like the same thing I was mentioning with that other gentleman. And we were sitting around one day and we said, hey, you know, a gospel brunch would be well received in Orlando. Well received. And what was interesting about that was I was not sure how I would perceive myself doing it. I had to go through some prayer. I told him I'd get back to him on it. And it was one of those eye-opening things where you have the ability to do this twice a month. You're not doing anything really that far out of bounds of anything that we would be expecting. Just speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it started.
Wow. And now this is two times a month then?
Yes, that it's changed. So when we first started back in November of 2020, so think about that. We started this during COVID.
Yeah.
right? And we were only doing the first Sunday, you know, mm-hmm. and we were only doing basically one, what we would call seating, basically 11:30 to 1:30 or so. And then the response was so good, but we were noticing that a lot of people were making later reservations in the morning to afternoon time. And so we migrated to two Sundays. Mm-hmm. So now you have the first and the third.
That is so cool. And it's an opportunity for people to come out, attend the place, get something to eat and have a good time while they're there. But more importantly, an opportunity for you to share the gospel with them.
Correct. Correct.
That's pretty cool. Really, thank you for being here with me, and we wish you the best. Is there the address or website that they can find out more about this?
The Jazz Tastings doesn't have a website. They're more of a following on Facebook.
Okay.
So if you look up Jazz Tastings, there will be advertising and different things centered around the gospel brunch.
That's so, so cool. A gospel brunch at a jazz tasting location. That is really cool. My guest, Horatio Hamilton, thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a joy to have you. And friends, we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.